Good morning. I'm going to give them just a second. We need to pull that way down. Make sure I'm off on the monitors too, please. It is good to see y'all. I think that just went down too much, but that's okay. We got a new person working the sound side of things. This is his first time, and that's great. And yes. Okay, y'all hear that enthusiasm? Remember that, because I'm going to put a guilt trip on you here in just a minute. So that's good. So my name is John Simonson. I'm one of the pastors here. I get the pleasure of bringing the word today. Today we're going to be reading a scripture out of John 5. John 5, 1 through 9. I'm going to read out of the CEB version. The first time I looked at this scripture, I was trying to figure out how to preach on this scripture. It's a really neat story. I mean, it's a good Bible story. It's one of those stories that we read and it makes us feel good, and we say that's the Jesus we serve. But when you try to take that scripture and apply it to today, how does it affect our lives today, and how does it inform us on how we should live today? I was kind of struggling a little bit with that. So first, let's start with the scripture, and then we'll jump in, okay? Disclaimer, y'all know me, that have been here for a while. If I ask a question and you feel like you have an answer, shout it out. This is a two-way street. I'm not preaching at you. We are preaching together. So we will come to the word together. So don't be afraid to speak up, okay? So John 5, 1 through 9. After this, there was a Jewish festival, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, in the north city wall, is a pool with the Aramaic name Bethesda. It had five covered porches and a crowd of people who were sick, blind, lame, and paralyzed sat there. A certain man was there who had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, knowing that he had already been there a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I don't have anyone who can put me in the water when it is stirred up. When I'm trying to get to it, someone else has gotten to it ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Get up. Pick up your mat and walk." Immediately the man was well, and he picked up his mat and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. This is the word of God. It is true, and it can be trusted. So this passage is kind of a pivotal point, because Jesus healed this man on the Sabbath. And we know later on the Pharisees really latched on to this. And they use this healing as an excuse to go after Jesus. And that's one of the reasons that makes this passage neat. But another reason that makes this passage neat is because Jesus is healing somebody that's sick, that's lame, right? That's been sick for 38 years. And Jesus just comes along and heals them. And that's the Jesus we serve, right? This Jesus that heals us when we're sick, that heals our life, right? But when I was thinking about this passage, I was like, what is Jesus really doing here? What is Jesus really doing as he heals this man? What do y'all think that is? What is he offering this man? We kind of just sang about it in this song. What did Jesus do for the for his people, the Israelites, with Moses? What did Jesus do? What has God done throughout the Bible? When you look at the history of the Bible, when you look at all of the stories about Jesus, he's always offering one thing. God and Jesus are always offering one thing. What is that? Huh? Wholeness. Wholeness. Yeah, that's a perfect word. Wholeness or restoration or a new life, right? That's what Jesus is really about. So for some of you that don't know me, I am a part-time pastor right now. Yes, they say that exists. No, I have not figured out how that works. I don't know that there is such thing as a part-time pastor, right? But I have a full-time job, and my full-time job is a police officer in Orange Beach. I've been doing that for almost 25 years. I am so excited that in January, the church has already agreed to hire me full-time, and I retire December 31st. Yay! I am excited and fearful about retirement, right? It's one of those weird life moments. But I'm excited that I get to switch to this job full time. However, I have to admit something. Being a police officer for 25 years has made me jaded, right? I don't see the world the same way, right? I've dealt with a lot of things. I've dealt with a lot of situations. I hear all kind of lies and excuses, and I hear, I don't deal with people at their best all the time. I meet them in a lot of bad situations, right? So it's jaded me a little bit. And when I first read this passage, the police officer side of me came out, because I've heard the same thing said to me that this man says to Jesus. When Jesus asked this guy, "Do you want to get well?" What does the guy say? Yeah, he makes excuses. What are his excuses? Well, I tried to get over there, but when I get close, somebody else beats me, right? Or what's the other excuse? There's nobody to help me, right? We play the victim a lot. That's what he's doing. He plays the victim. Well, nobody will help me. Or when I try to get in, somebody beats me to it. It's not my fault that I'm not well, right? I've heard that. The person that weaves in and out of traffic, right? And they're flying through, cutting people off, going back and forth. And when you pull them over and you say, the reason I stopped you is look at the cars behind you that you ran off the road, right? What do they say? They say, well, you know, that guy was going too slow in the fast lane. If he would have just been moved over, I wouldn't have had to. Or you go to a domestic, you know. Well, I wouldn't have hit her if she would have just done what I said. Or I wouldn't have hit him if he would have done what I just said, right? It's not my fault. It's their fault. They made me do it. And I've heard that. They made me do it. They made me hit him. I mean, we play this victim card, right? It's not our fault. We wouldn't have done that if they didn't do that. And we do it in all areas of life, too. I would love to say that I've never said that, but I do, you know. I wouldn't have gotten mad if you would have just locked the door like I asked you to. That was the argument this morning. It was her fault, not mine, you know. We do it without even thinking about it, but we do it because we're human. Well, what is Jesus offering this guy again? Restoration, wholeness, healing, a new life, right? We know this guy has been lame for 38 years, probably his entire life. He's been sitting by this pool where he knows he can get well, but because of everybody else's actions, he hasn't been able to find this new life. And then Jesus comes up and says, well, do you want to get well? And he gives these excuses. Does that happen to us? Does Jesus offer us that new life, that restoration, that wholeness? And do we make excuses for that? Do we blame that on other people? And to be honest, I say, yeah, I think we do. I think there's a lot of times we have our excuses ready when Jesus speaks to us and offers us this new life. I think we want a new life as long as it fits into our routine. I mean, think about that. This guy's been going to this place for 38 years. 38 years. You would think that sometime in that 38 years, he would have made it to the water. But we develop a routine in our life. We have daily things that we're used to. We wake up at a certain time. We go to a certain place. We're there for a certain amount of time. We come home. And we want Jesus in our lives. We want to know he's there. We want to know he's accessible. We can get in the water when we need him. But that's not the newness, that's not the wholeness, that's not the restoration that Jesus is offering us, right? Jesus is offering us a whole new life. a completely different life than any life we've ever experienced before. Jesus comes along and says, do you want this new life? And we're ready to say, as long as you don't interrupt my daily schedule, I'm good with that. As long as you're not going to require too much out of me, I'm good with that. I really would want to do that, God, but you know what? You already have some people that are doing that. I would love to love that person that nobody else loves, but you know, you already have church people that will do that. You already have an organization that will do that. I don't know that you need me to do that. Have y'all ever heard of the 80-20 rule? Do y'all know what that is? What is that? Somebody in here knows. Right? Some people give 80%, some people give 20. What did you say over here? 80% of the people. Right. 80% of the people show up, 20% of the people do all the work. 80% of the people show up, 20% of the people give. I hate to be the mean person here, but it's true. If you really want to, you can go into any church anywhere, and you walk in, and I promise you, you will see certain people that do all the work, right? Not, I'm not blaming, I'm not saying anything, I'm just saying there's 20% of the people that do everything. You want to do something new? Go ask that 20%. You want to get something started? Go ask that 20%. And there's 80% of the people that are all supportive and all involved and all showing up every week. And it's just kind of one of those things that happens, right? It's that human nature. We get into a routine. There's people that say, well, they got it. They don't need us. You know? Why work sound? There's that guilt trip. Why work sound? Somebody's already doing that, right? Why get involved and volunteer? So-and-so will do it. Well, it's just that excuse we give ourselves. It's that human nature that shows up, right? It's that, you know what, God? I want to live a new life as long as it doesn't interfere with my life. But God doesn't offer us a conditional life. What he says is, do you want this life? Do you want a new life? And we give the excuses we give, whatever that is. I'm a victim. Somebody else did it before me. Somebody else will take care of it. Somebody else will volunteer, let somebody else handle that. I don't have time. Whatever our excuses are, but how does Jesus respond to that excuse? Does he listen to it and say, you know what? I get it. You know, you're busy. No, he looks at him and he says, then get up, right? He looks at him and says, get up, pick up your mat and walk. Step into this new life. Get up and get involved in this new life I'm giving you. That's all you have to do is stand up and start doing. There's nothing extra needed. You don't have to get in the water. You don't have to wait your turn. All you have to do is get up and step into this new life because it's yours already. You know, God invites us to a life we've never experienced before, and that's scary. I was talking to somebody this morning on the way in. The closer I get to retirement, the more excited I get, but also the more scared I get, right? Because it's something I've never done before. My life is going to change after that moment. Yes, I've got another job lined up. Yes, I'm going to be here full time. But it's not the life that I've known before, is it? And that's a little scary. Is it not a little scary to imagine this life that God is calling us to, this life where we love people that others don't love, where we be present with people that other people avoid, that we give up of our time, we give up of our money, we give up of our talents, and we trust God with that? Is that not scary? Does that scare anybody else in here? Because it scares me. I mean, I'll be honest. I had an argument with God when he called me to be a pastor. I said, no, you're making a mistake. I'm not doing it. You don't know what you're talking about. Because It was a life I couldn't imagine. But there came a point where I had to make a decision, right? God, I can give you all the excuses in the world, but you're still standing there saying, do you want this life or not? Do you want this life that I offer you and only I can offer you? Do you want this restoration? Do you want this wholeness? Do you want this healing in your life that only comes from me? And we can come up with all the excuses we can come up with, and he's still going to stand there and say, well, do you? And at some point, we have to make a decision. Because he's going to look at us and say, get up. Get up. Pick up your mat and live the life I'm offering you. And you're going to have to sit there and say, what other excuse is there? He's not listening to me. He's still standing there in front of me saying, get up. Get up and live into this new life. Live into the kingdom of God here and now. Be a loving presence in the world around you. Be a presence that speaks love, not hate. That speaks togetherness, not division. That speaks equality. That speaks we are all created by God, for God, and with each other. That's the life he invites us to. That's the life we don't know. That's the life that makes us uncomfortable and scary. It's a life that all you have to do is get up and take the first step. You take the first step, and then you take another step. And you don't have to be perfect at it. I mean, think about this guy. He was lame for 38 years. Do you think he just got up and took the first step and was like, oh, this is how you walk, right? I mean, think about your kids, your babies. Do they just go from laying on their stomach to running around the house? Yes, I know it seems like they do. But there's at least a day in the middle there, right? Where you have to hold them up and they learn with you, right? Well, maybe that's Jesus holding his hands out saying, just get up and I'll help you. And we'll take a first few steps together, right? Maybe that's Jesus saying, look, you step into this new world, this world you know nothing about, this world that scares you, this life that I've created you for, that I'm inviting you to live into, and we'll do it together. And then I'll give you a family, and you can do it together with them. That's what we are here, a family that is not going to sit back and watch other people beat us to the punch. We're not going to be the people that say, well, so-and-so will do it. So-and-so will do it. Oh, well, you know, I would, but Jenny's already up there singing. Kate's already up there singing. Or, you know, I would help out with that, but I just don't have time. That's not who we're called to be. We're called to be a family that says we're going to do this together, and we're going to give it everything we have, and we're going to live fully into this new life, because I was not called to lay here by the pool and give excuses. I was called to get up and start doing it. And that's what we're going to do. That's who we're going to be in Foley, Alabama. We're going to be a church that does. And I'm challenging all of you to get involved. All of you to find a place to plug in. All of you to get up and start doing and quit making excuses. Man, that sounds harsh, doesn't it? But I'm saying it anyway. Because we've got a lot of people here. Think of the impact we can make if we all get up. Pick up our mat and start walking. Think of the change that will happen in your life. And let me ask you this. This is really the challenge that I read out of this scripture. This is the challenge that hits me hard. So maybe it'll hit you too. When you meet Jesus, when you have those moments in your life where Jesus calls out to you and says, do you want a new life? If you haven't experienced that new life, then what excuse are you giving God? What excuse are you falling back on? I mean, that hits me hard because there's a lot of excuses I give. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not good enough. I have no idea how to be a preacher. I don't know how to unclog a toilet. I don't know how to fix a wall. I don't know how to love somebody I don't like. I don't know how to go find somebody that's different than me and just be present with them. I don't know. But I do know when I make those excuses, I don't experience the life God has called me to. And I remember very clearly my life after I ran away from God and before I came back to God. I don't ever want to go back to that emptiness, to that loneliness, to that moment that I was stuck on my mat, not trying hard enough, not looking hard enough, finding excuses not to be healed. I want to live fully into the life God has called me to. So when I hear those challenges, even though I'm scared, even though I don't know what I'm doing, I'm not going to rely on my excuses. I'm going to get up, pick up my mat, and take a step and see where God takes me. That's what I invite you to do as well. Now, I'm not going to talk anymore. I'm going to let the band come back up, but I am going to say this. We're going to get out a little early, so you still have plenty of time to go home and cook something or go to Winn-Dixie and buy something. And be back here at 12 o'clock for the potluck, right? You do not have to make an excuse. Come in fellowship and get to know the family that's here to help you live this restored life. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, man, life is overwhelming. I'm busy. I'm just trying to get by. I like my daily routine. I've got it down pat, Lord. I can wake up at a certain time. I can get to work at a certain time. I can get off at a certain time, and I can go to bed at a certain time. That doesn't leave a lot of time to do something new, to try something different. Lord, what I'm trying to say is the mat that I've been laying on for 47 years is comfortable. And when you show up and say, do you want to get well? Do you want to experience a new life? A life you've never dreamed of? A life you've never seen before? It's easy for me to want to give those excuses. I'm so grateful that you don't listen to them and that you stay right there and that you look at me and hold out your hand and say, get up, pick up your mat and come with me into this new life. Help me build the kingdom of God here and now. Be who I created you to be. Live a whole, complete life that's not defined by hate or division or separation, but a life that is defined by love and grace and acceptance and mercy and doing life with one another and being real. So Lord, help me get over my own excuses. Help us all get over all of our excuses. And help us to take that first step fully into the life you've called us to. In Jesus' name, amen.
Friends, let's stand and let's close together. God, I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you, you're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom You know just what to do, yeah. God, I look to you. And I will love you, Lord, my shield. And I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever all my days, I will love you, God. I want y'all to sing that again. I will love you, Lord, my strength. As you're going through this week and it's hard, turn your attention to God. That always seems to make it better for me. Turn your attention to God. Y'all sing this out. And I will love you, Lord, my strength. And I will love you, Lord, my shield. And forever all my days, I will love you, God. Amen.
What a wonderful morning, everyone. John's words ring so true for all of us. Our promise, as your pastors are, that if you have 10 minutes, we'll find something for you. If you have 3 hours, we'll find something for you. We will create ways. We are both committed to the idea that how we've always been religious, that God dreams for you. Find our way together.